In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the good news is that parables are meant to stump us. This parable highlights a very important tension in the Christian tradition between grace and works. It speaks of the difference between being called and being ready to accept the invitation. And on first reading or first hearing, this parable sounds a little bit more like Game of Thrones than it does the gospel. We have a king who is ready to host this wedding banquet for his son, but the invited guests all have excuses for why they can't make it. So the king sends his servants out into the streets to invite everyone to the party. What was once an exclusive party now seems to be open to everyone and anyone. This is the part that is not like Game of Thrones. And indeed, both the good and the bad, we are told, come to the wedding feast. But among the good and the bad, only one guest is singled out. This man is missing something essential. He's not wearing a wedding robe, and so he's thrown out of the party. Parables are meant to raise questions. They are meant to make us think in new ways, to turn things upside down. Why did all the invited guests refuse to attend? Why did the king open the invitation to everyone? What is a wedding robe? And why was it necessary to have one? Of course, it doesn't make any sense at all that everyone on the streets that day, the rich and the poor, would have been literally wearing a wedding robe, not knowing they were going to get invited to a wedding. The parable only begins to make sense when we realize that it is speaking to us symbolically, in metaphors. So try thinking about it this way. What if Jesus is the son in the parable? And what if the wedding is not a wedding in the traditional sense between two people? What if this wedding is a wedding in the symbolic, spiritual, mystical sense of the union between Christ and his church? What if all the guests who are invited to this feast are invited in order to be married to Christ? What if the wedding robe is not an outer reality, but an inner reality? What if the wedding robe symbolizes a person's readiness to go deeper in their life in Christ, or even to make that first commitment? When I was thinking about this parable this past week, I thought of a passage from a book that I read in college when I began to get serious about my faith. When I was at Yale University, I began to attend a Bible study at an Episcopal church, and I began to read some books on the Christian life. And the only one that I remember from that time really made an impression on me. Many of you have probably read it. It's called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And although I wouldn't necessarily agree with everything that he says, that book made a big impression on me, and one part in particular that rings true to my experience. And so much so that I remember it clearly, and it's been at least 20 years since I've reread the book. It came to mind this week. So I want to share a little bit of this with you. And this, again, this is C.S. Lewis's take. You don't have to necessarily agree with it. But to me, it fits in with the parable. So he's talking about how we human beings tend to be judgmental, and we tend to judge each other by our outer actions, because that's really all we can see. But he says God judges people by their moral choices, and what I think he means by that, by their inner choices, by their inner life. And he goes on to say that someone who has been abused or subjected to a lot of cruelty, that their psychological material, as he calls it, could be bad, but that in itself is not a sin. It is a disease. And that doesn't mean people aren't responsible for their actions, but that God sees the whole. God sees how we use what we're given. So he says, when a man who's been perverted from his youth, or maybe treated very cruelly and taught that cruelty is the right thing, does some tiny little kindness or refrains from some cruelty he might have committed, he may, in God's eyes, be doing more than you and I would do if we gave up life itself for a friend. Because only God knows how difficult it is for people to make choices. He goes on to say, it is as well to put this the other way around. Some of us who seem quite nice people may, in fact, have made so little use of a good heredity and good upbringing that we are really worse than those whom we regard as fiends. He asks the question, can we really say how we would behave if we had been brought up with abuse and cruelty and then given a lot of power? That is why Christians are told not to judge, he says. We see only the results which a person's choices make out of their raw material. But God does not judge the person on the raw material at all, but on what that person has done with it. And this is the part that so struck me many, many years ago that still rings true to me today. He says, most of a person's psychological makeup is probably due to their body. By that he means physical condition and experiences. When their body dies, all that will fall off them, and the real central person, the part of the person that made choices, that made the best or the worst out of this material, that part will stand naked. All sorts of nice things which we thought our own, that we wanted to take credit for, but which were really due to a good digestion, will fall off of some of us. All sorts of nasty things which were due to complexes or bad health will fall off others. He says, we shall then for the first time see every person as they really were. There will be surprises. It reminds me of a couple weeks ago, I was preaching from Paul's letter where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because, yes, we are saved by faith through grace, but it doesn't stop there. This weekend, the Diocese of Southwest Florida met in convention for the 49th time, as your senior warden said at the beginning, Terry. Next year will be the 50th anniversary of the diocese, the 50th annual convention, and the presiding bishop will be with us next year, so that will be wonderful. So for Friday and Saturday, our delegates, Terry, Manon, and Susan, and Carol came along. They accompanied me for this two-day event. And the theme of this year's convention was work, pray, give. Why did they choose this theme for convention? Work, pray, give. Well, in our catechism, which is found in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, the answer to the question, what is the duty of all Christians, is that the duty of all Christians, all of us, is to worship God, to work, to pray, and to give. As our bishop reminded us, in the older language of the 1929 prayer book, this is worded, and some of our Rite One liturgy has this too, the wording is, this is our bounden duty. Bounden means binding. This is our binding duty as Christians, our part of our covenant with God, our baptismal covenant, to worship, to work, to pray, and to give. So maybe this duty, our duty as Christians, has something to do with the interpretation of this parable. Maybe the parable is meant to afflict the comfortable, as they say, to shake us up out of our complacency. Maybe the man without the wedding robe is not prepared to accept the invitation, to make any kind of commitment. Perhaps this parable is a call to deeper commitment. Worship, work, pray, and give. This is the duty of all Christians, of all of us. And the choices that we make, even little choices we make every day, do matter. They matter very much. Every time we make a sacrifice for the good, we strengthen our soul. Every time we refrain from doing something mean or evil, we strengthen our soul. All the good that we do matters very much. It is never lost. And when we do choose badly, which we always do because we're only human, we can ask God for forgiveness. And if C.S. Lewis and many other spiritual teachers are right, the part of us that does that choosing, the central part, our soul, if you will one day be revealed as it truly is. It will be as strong as the choices we have made all our lives, with God's help. The good news is that the invitation is always open. God is always calling us home. We always have the chance to accept the invitation to work, pray, and give to the glory of God and for the good of the world.